Part 2. Wasting Time. Chapter 5. Cozying Up to Ugly Tasks. Takeaway. Procrastination is human. The biggest reason your highest impact tasks are so valuable is that they're often more intimidating. They almost always require more time, attention, and energy than your lower impact tasks. They're typically also more boring, frustrating, difficult, unstructured, and lacking in intrinsic rewards, which all act as triggers for procrastination. Wasting time. In October of 2013, after I conducted a productivity experiment around watching 296 TED Talks in a week, a staff member of the prestigious TED organization invited me to participate in an interview for its official blog. TED, which stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design, is a worldwide series of conferences where leaders in all three fields gather together to talk about their ideas worth spreading. I was over the moon. I was about halfway into my year-long experiment. People were starting to discover my website, and the interview was a huge coup. Along with other TED luminaries like Bill Clinton, Malcolm Gladwell, Jane Goodall, and Bill Gates, I would be on the front page of TED.com. When my interview was posted a week later, I was excited all over again. My favorite part of it was the opening line, which read, "Chris Bailey might be the most productive man you'd ever hope to meet." TED thought I was the most productive man ever. That should go on the cover of my book, right? That same week, I tracked how I spent my time as an experiment. What I discovered was humbling. Over the course of the week, after tracking how I spent every hour of every day, including how much time I spent procrastinating, I discovered that I spent 19 hours on reading and research, 16.5 hours writing, 4 hours conducting and participating in interviews, 8.5 hours doing maintenance-type tasks, and 6 hours procrastinating. If you're curious, over those 5 days, I also spent 39.5 hours sleeping, 9 hours on household and personal tasks, 6 hours working out, 2.5 hours meditating, and 10.5 hours on leisure activities, mostly reading and spending time with friends. By pretty much any measure, my week was extraordinarily productive. TED organizers published their interview with me. I wrote 4,683 words, finished reading 2 books, and read countless articles on productivity. I also invested 37.5 hours into 2 of my highest impact tasks, and there were no gaps between what I intended to accomplish and what I actually accomplished. As the icing on the cake, I had a ton of energy and focus throughout that week. Yet I spent 6 hours putting off what I had intended to do, which didn't include the time I spent taking breaks. While I was excited to share what I learned in tracking my time, I ultimately decided against putting the results up on my blog. I'm revealing them for the first time here in this audiobook. I didn't often shy away from being vulnerable during my project, and always wrote about the times I failed, but this time my pride got in the way. It stubbornly prevented me from saying anything that would take away from my newfound identity as the world's most productive person. But as it turns out, procrastinating isn't something to be ashamed of. And here's why. Everyone procrastinates. One of the smartest decisions I made when I started a year of productivity was blogging every day about what I learned from my research and experiments. As more and more people began to follow my approach to exploring productivity, I was able to use this growing attention to dive even deeper into what it takes to become more productive, such as interviewing experts like Tim Pitchell. Tim Pitchell wrote the best-selling book, Solving the Procrastination Puzzle. He's been researching procrastination for more than 20 years. Tim walks with a spring in his step, exuding a zen-like calmness that's not unlike the meditators I've interviewed for this book. His personality and demeanor, on the surface, seem incongruous with what one might expect out of one of the world's foremost authorities on procrastination. What Tim said during our first conversation set me more at ease than anything I had heard in a long time. Everyone procrastinates. Procrastination is simply human nature. Pierce Steele, the author of The Procrastination Equation, backs that up, explaining that, quote, "across scores of surveys, about 95% of people admit to procrastinating, end quote. The other 5% are lying. Naturally, different people procrastinate in different ways and amounts every day. Research shows that about 20% of people procrastinate chronically. But whether or not you're a chronic procrastinator, you probably put things off more than you realize. My 6 hours over the course of a week may even be on the low end of the spectrum. According to a recent Salary.com survey, 31% of people openly admitted to wasting at least an hour every day, and 26% of people admitted to wasting 2 or more hours every day. And that's only the time employees consciously wasted. Depending on your work, you may procrastinate for more than 2 hours every day. Pitchell found in one of his studies that the average student procrastinates for a third of his or her waking hours. The 6 triggers of procrastination. The science behind why we procrastinate is simple. One of my favorite pieces of research on the topic, which Tim Pitchell also participated in, found that there are a handful of attributes a task can have that make you more likely to procrastinate on it. There are also personality traits that make you more likely to procrastinate, but I'll get to those in a bit. I personally prefer to focus on the tasks themselves, since a task is way easier to change than your personality. Plus, you're great. Don't ever change. It's actually relatively straightforward. Personality aside, the more aversive or unattractive a task or project is to you, the more likely you are to put it off. And there are 6 main task attributes that make procrastination more likely. Those are whether a task is one or more of the following: boring, frustrating, difficult, unstructured or ambiguous, lacking in personal meaning, or lacking in intrinsic rewards. It's not fun or engaging. The more of these attributes a task has, and the more intense these attributes are, the less attractive a task will be to you, and the more likely you'll procrastinate on it. This is why you put off some tasks to the very last moment, like doing your taxes, in favor of doing other tasks, like watching Netflix, which don't set off nearly as many triggers. Doing your taxes is one of the most boring, frustrating, difficult, and unstructured tasks there is. And if you're like me, you probably don't find it all that meaningful or fun. For most people, doing your taxes has all 6 procrastination triggers. Other commitments like visiting the doctor for a checkup, calling your mother, working from home, running a marathon, and writing a book also set off multiple procrastination triggers, which makes you more likely to put them off. It's important to think about why you're procrastinating. As Tim Pitchell put it, sometimes procrastination is just a symptom that your life just doesn't match up to what you're interested in, and maybe you should do something else. The reason you feel so much less mental resistance to watching Netflix than you do with doing your taxes is Netflix is far less boring, frustrating, and difficult, and it's more stimulating and structured. Netflix even shows a link to play the next episode of a series as you finish watching the current one. Because watching Netflix has almost no procrastination triggers, we don't put it off. The biggest reason your highest impact tasks are so valuable is that they too are aversive. They almost always require more time, attention, and energy than your lower impact tasks, and they're usually more boring, frustrating, difficult, unstructured, and lacking in intrinsic rewards. They're valuable and they're meaningful because they're hard. And that's why you get paid more than minimum wage to do them. This is a simple reality of not working in a factory. The more valuable your work, the more aversive it will be. This is also why becoming more productive can be so challenging. Although every single person on earth wants to get more done, accomplishing more involves taking on tasks that are more aversive. Procrastination gets in the way of accomplishing more since it is, in its simplest form, a gap between your intention and action. By the way, are you interested in gaining back 13.6 years of your life in an instant? Quit watching TV. According to Nielsen, the average American adult watches 5 hours and 4 minutes of television every single day. Assuming you live until 80 and start watching TV at 10, that adds up to 13.6 years of your life. Nerding out. Let's look at what happens inside your brain as you procrastinate. As you consider procrastinating on a task, a fascinating internal war rages on in your brain. Often you go from justifying why it's okay to watch one more episode of House of Cards to thinking about the fact that you need to do your taxes, from being tempted to check Facebook or Twitter one more time to thinking about how you really need to get started on your report that's due next Friday. This back and forth is the result of two parts of your brain, your limbic system and prefrontal cortex, going to war with each other. Your limbic system is the emotional, instinctual part of your brain that includes, among other things, your pleasure center. Evolutionarily speaking, the limbic is a very old part of your brain. Like an animal, it's what makes you instinctual and pushes you to give in to emotions and temptations. This is the part of your brain that tries to tempt you to put off doing your taxes to watch a few episodes of House of Cards. Your prefrontal cortex is the logical part of your brain that's fighting to get you to do your taxes. It's responsible for, among other things, logic, reason, and keeping your longer-term goals in mind. It's also what motivated you to pick up this audiobook. If you've done the productivity experiments I've mentioned so far, it's because your prefrontal cortex won out. If you've put them off and simply listened on, your limbic system won out. This back and forth between your emotional limbic system and logical prefrontal cortex is what leads to the decisions you make throughout the day. It's also what makes you human. If your prefrontal cortex won out 100% of the time, all your decisions would be perfectly logical, and you would be akin to a Vulcan from the Star Trek franchise, basing all your decisions on pure logic and reason without consideration of your emotions or the emotions of others. If your limbic system won out 100% of the time, you would be no different from an animal who makes every decision on instinct. In every decision we make, either our limbic system or our prefrontal cortex gains the upper hand. Our limbic system wins out when we go home with a cute girl at the bar, don't resist ordering a donut with our morning coffee, or when we procrastinate. Tim often refers to procrastination as, quote, giving in to feel good. And if you look at a brain scan of someone who is procrastinating, you'll see that on a neurological level, that's exactly what happens. The prefrontal cortex surrenders to the limbic system so that we can feel good in the short term. But our prefrontal cortex wins out a lot of the time, too. It is the reason we set aside money for retirement, hit the gym after work to get into shape, overcome the six triggers of procrastination, and read about productivity. It's the part of your brain that is constantly fighting for you to achieve your long-term goals instead of the goals that are only pleasurable in the short term. And it is nearly impossible to become more productive without a strong prefrontal cortex. Whenever we think about whether we should work on an ugly task, our limbic system and prefrontal cortex battle it out, and then we either procrastinate or we tackle the dreaded task. But there's just one issue between this battle with the limbic system and prefrontal cortex. The deck is stacked. Regaining control over your brain. So far, I've painted a picture in which your limbic system and prefrontal cortex are in constant battle with each other. Although that's true as far as procrastination is concerned, the rest of the time the two systems work together in incredible ways. Since the two systems are responsible for both logic and emotion, they're jointly responsible for some of the most remarkable innovations known to humankind, including language, the printing press, the light bulb, the wheel, and the internet. Logic created the wheel, but out of a desire to create a better and more modern world. Plus, the first inventor of the wheel probably got some mad props from his bros and scored well with the ladies afterwards. But that's just based on my subjective guess and not on evolutionary science or psychology. The interplay of your prefrontal cortex and limbic system is also what lets you pursue things that are pleasurable, engaging, and meaningful, like learning to play the cello, saving to hike up the Inca Trail, climbing a mountain, volunteering, building strong relationships, or pursuing long-term goals and following your passion. The part of studying the brain that I find fascinating is that even though these types of battles occur in our brain thousands of times every day, we usually aren't aware of them. Just as 90% of an iceberg sits underwater, our mind is only able to consciously observe a fraction of what's going on in our brain. The rest is hidden within the depths of our unconsciousness. This is why productivity can be so powerful, because you can harness this power by combining the science of how you think and act with the intention of learning how to accomplish more. While our limbic system is essential, much of productivity has to do with building up a strong prefrontal cortex, one that can show your limbic system who's boss when it needs to, and smack down impulses like checking your email or Facebook one more time in favor of working on higher impact tasks. While we need to keep our limbic system happy, it is impossible to invest in our achievements, relationships, and values without a strong prefrontal cortex. But that's easier said than done. While the interplay between our prefrontal cortex and limbic system is what makes us human, our prefrontal cortex is also much weaker than our limbic system. The limbic system has evolved over millions of years, while the prefrontal cortex has been around for thousands. In the exact same way that the most productive people learn to step back from working on autopilot, the most productive people learn to use their prefrontal cortexes more than their limbic systems. Tilting the scale. I've designed this chapter to be a bit longer than the other ones for a very specific reason: to ignite your prefrontal cortex. As you're listening to these words, your prefrontal cortex is on fire, processing the meaning behind the words you're listening to right now while connecting them to what you already know. Igniting your prefrontal cortex is, conveniently, what you have to do to defeat your limbic system and work on your highest impact tasks. For me, although procrastinating for 6 hours in a given week is probably on the low end of the procrastination spectrum, I wanted to squeeze every ounce of productivity out of my time. I wanted to get that number as low as I possibly could. After I discovered the source of procrastination, my limbic system bullying my prefrontal cortex, I did all I could to give my prefrontal cortex the advantage the next time my limbic system tempted me to give in to feeling good. After you have identified your most important tasks and have formed an intention to work on them, you will procrastinate on them, even though you likely have a stronger prefrontal cortex than most. But there are several strategies that work wonders for turning the tables on procrastination. In fact, with enough forethought, it's entirely possible to make doing your taxes a task as sexy as watching an entire season of House of Cards. Extreme Makeover, Taxes Edition. Oh, look at the calendar. Your taxes are due in a month, and you haven't even thought about getting started on them. But they can wait until tomorrow, right? The moment you notice your mind having an internal debate about whether or not to work on a task, or you begin to notice yourself saying things like, I'll do them later, I just don't feel like it right now, or worst of all, I'll do them when I have more time, it's a signal that the task before you is an aversive task, and that you need to make doing it much more attractive. By the way, I have something quick to get off my chest here. I don't have time for that is the biggest excuse out there. When someone says they don't have time for something, what they're really saying is that a task isn't as important or attractive as whatever else they have on their plate. Every person gets 24 hours of time every day and gets to spend those 24 hours however he or she chooses. But I digress. Because doing taxes is such an aversive task, it has created the entire tax preparation industry, which in the United States alone employs an estimated 320,000 people. And it's no wonder. If completing your taxes were as simple as clicking a button, the industry wouldn't exist. According to Intuit, the makers of TurboTax, the software program that, among others, makes doing your taxes less boring, frustrating, difficult, and so on, quote, nearly a third of taxpayers procrastinate on filing their taxes. My method of choice for making my tax task less ugly is to hire someone to do them for me. Every year, I hire a business to do my taxes, and for a couple $100, I basically buy back hours of my time and attention so I can level up and focus on higher impact tasks and projects. It's tax season right now. And instead of collecting receipts, crunching numbers, and figuring out what I can and can't write off under my business, I'm writing these words. But let's assume that hiring a business to do them for you is out, and you have to file them yourself on paper. Just thinking about doing your taxes, maybe your limbic system is resisting listening on or dreading these next few words. So let's make over doing your taxes so they're just as attractive as watching Netflix. By seeing what triggers procrastination and then making a plan to flip those triggers, doing your taxes becomes more attractive. If I found myself putting off doing my taxes, I might sit down and make a plan to change those triggers. For example, if the trigger is boring, I might go to my favorite cafe for an afternoon on Saturday to do my taxes over a fancy drink while doing some people watching. If it's frustrating, I might bring a book to the same cafe and set a timer on my phone to limit myself to working on my taxes for 30 minutes, and only work for longer if I'm on a roll and feel like going on. Difficult. I research the tax process to see what steps I need to follow and what paperwork I need to gather. Then I visit the cafe during my biological prime time when I'll naturally have more energy. Unstructured or ambiguous. I make a detailed plan for my research that has the very next steps I need to take to do them. If it's lacking in personal meaning, if I expect to get a refund, think about how much money I'll get back and make a list of the meaningful things I'll spend that money on. If it's lacking in intrinsic rewards, for every 15 minutes I spend on my taxes, I might set aside $2.50 to treat myself or reward myself in some meaningful way for reaching milestones. Okay, maybe doing your taxes will never be as sexy as watching Netflix, but I think we came close, right? Three more ways to regain control over your brain. Flipping a task's triggers tackles two birds with one stone. It simultaneously makes a task less aversive by disabling its procrastination triggers while it readies your prefrontal cortex to battle your brain's limbic system. If you need to give your prefrontal cortex an even bigger shove, here are three more ways to regain control and work on your most aversive tasks. 1. Create a procrastination list. It's actually possible to procrastinate productively. When you make a list of meaningful and high-impact tasks to do the next time you procrastinate, you can remain productive while your prefrontal cortex warms up. During my project, I often found myself putting off reading long, tedious research papers, so I made a procrastination list that included items like writing and sending important emails, organizing folders on my computer, and tracking expenses related to my project. I think it's also helpful to give yourself a choice between working on only two tasks, the task that you're tempted to procrastinate on, and another task that's high return. 2. List the costs. Listing every single cost of putting something off is one of my favorite ways to get my prefrontal cortex fired up. It's a simple tactic, but it gives you a much better shot at winning out. 3. Just get started. Note that I didn't say just do it. If you have a big aversive task like cleaning your basement, simply get started on it. Try setting a timer for just 15 minutes, after which you will stop cleaning and begin to work on something else. If you feel like going on after you get started, by all means do. But if you don't worry about it. Every single time I have simply got started on something, even if just for a few minutes, tasks have rarely been as aversive as I had imagined. Rita Emmett, the author of The Procrastinator's Handbook, summed this up well in what she labeled Emmett's Law. The dread of doing a task uses up more time and energy than doing the task itself. Progress. Over the ensuing months, whenever I noticed myself trying to justify my way out of a task, I used that as a trigger to fire up my prefrontal cortex. According to Tim Pitchell, procrastination is at its most fundamental level, quote, a visceral emotional reaction, end quote, to a task that sets off multiple procrastination triggers. Firing up your prefrontal cortex is the best way out. Since my first time log, I wanted to get to the bottom of how to waste less time every day, a tumultuous journey, but one that taught me a lot along the way. At the time of my most recent time log, I was in the middle of writing this book. Writing a book is a task that, for me, sets off even more procrastination triggers than my project did, It's one of the least structured and intrinsically rewarding tasks out there, especially for a business-minded guy like myself, and it can be insanely boring, frustrating, and difficult at times. But whenever I've been tempted to procrastinate writing this over the last several months, the first thing I did was fire up my prefrontal cortex. And it worked. Here's what my most recent time log looked like. 17.5 hours reading and research. 15 hours writing. 5.5 hours conducting and participating in interviews. 2.5 hours doing maintenance type tasks. And 1 hour procrastinating. Much better, to my relief. A part of me was tempted to write that I didn't procrastinate at all, and though that would have made for a better story to end this chapter with, it simply wouldn't be true. Sometimes our prefrontal cortex wins out. The flipping challenge. Time required, 6 minutes. Energy and focus required, 8 out of 10. Value, 8 out of 10. Fun, 7 out of 10. What you'll get out of it. The ugliest tasks in your work and personal life will become much more appealing, and you'll waste less time when you work on them. This will help you free up even more time for your highest impact and most meaningful tasks. If you want to become more productive, you simply have to work on your highest impact tasks more often. But when you do, you're also going to procrastinate more often, because the more aversive a task is to you, the more likely you'll put it off. The next time you notice yourself putting off a task, use that as a trigger to think hard about what procrastination triggers set you off. Then, write those triggers down and make a plan to flip them. And if you need to fire up your prefrontal cortex even further, create a procrastination list. List the cost of putting off the task, or simply get started on it. Ironically, the tasks that will make you the most productive are also the most aversive. Fighting the emotional urge you have to put them off can go a long way toward making you more productive. By the way, working on more aversive tasks is essential if you want to become more productive. Of course, if you constantly find yourself procrastinating, that may be a strong signal that you need to seek out a different job. Who wants to only work on stuff that's boring, frustrating, difficult, ambiguous, unstructured, and lacking in pleasure and meaning every day?